Call in now. 715-845-2155. WSAU Feedback on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Welcome. Thanks for joining us for the Thursday version of Feedback. 715-845-2155. All right, let's start off this morning with a correction from yesterday. Remember how we talked about the Wall Street advisor that came up and said, hey, actual unemployment's 37.2?
Right.
Yeah. Well, you and I, we discussed the actual unemployment rate, we're sure, is higher than the government reported 6.7. But you and I both aired a little bit of skepticism at 37.2. That is, one out of every three-plus Americans don't have a job. Yeah, it's not accurate. It is accurate if you were to say, to take all of the population of the United States and subtract out all of those who are not working, stay-at-home moms, college students, et cetera. You know, those that basically are not looking for jobs and should not legitimately be considered in the unemployment calculations. There's a chart that is published by the Civilian Labor Force Participation by the U.S. Department of Labor, Bureau of Labor Statistics. It's called the Civilian Labor Force Participation Rate, and it is currently at 62.8%. That means of our population that is eligible and wants to work, 62% are out there, of our total population. Well, the advisor just took, 100% minus 62.8. Well, that's 37.2. That does not take into consideration the, first of all, our society would not function at 100%
right.
Employment. It just, you can't do that.
The highest rate of unemployment during the Great Depression was in 1933, 24.9%.
Yeah. And, that,
and we aren't anywhere close
no,
to where
no,
the
no,
economy
no.
was in 1933.
Wait a minute. It was the Great Recession. We were supposed to be standing in line and eating our children and all kinds of things. Isn't that how it was supposed to be? That's the way it was reported because of Bush and his economics.
We have come out of that.
Oh, so we were there. You're saying we were there.
Well,
it was that bad. No, it wasn't, but that's okay. There is a different report that is put out called the U6 unemployment rate. It's a broader measure of actual unemployment rate. It includes in its figures the underemployed, those that are working the part-time, minimum wage job. If they're working, if they're underemployed, if you're working three part-time jobs, you've got a full-time gig.
Okay.
Full-time plus, actually. God bless your soul for doing it, too. Been there, done that. But it's for the underemployed, the discouraged, and so forth. That figure, which could be argued is still high, but it does give a more accurate account of those that are in need of better employment circumstances than what they have. That rate is 13.1. Which is, for all intents and purposes, near double what the government is telling us the actual employment rate is.
Does that include college graduates with a degree in philosophy that are working as baristas at Starbucks?
Well, if they're underemployed. Now, if you've got a
full... You would consider that underemployed,
well,
wouldn't you?
Well, it depends, man. There are some coffee house baristas that are making good money, okay? They are able to make the little clover leaf or something in your foam.
Do you get bonuses for that?
And then they make good tips. Baristas, if they put on a good show, they put out a good product, they make good tips.
Really?
There are baristas. There are people that work in food service that are making more money than you and I combined, which really isn't that hard. I'm probably sure there's a Mickey D's worker around here that's doing that.
No, don't try to convince people that you are poor and destitute. Come on.
I never said I was poor. Never said I was destitute. Just not getting paid enough. Anyway, so there are some that are doing quite well. This means the underemployed, those that are, coming in and working the four-hour shift in the afternoon and making minimum wage, and they need more, they want more, but they can't get it right now. So anyway, that's a correction from yesterday. 37.2, no, the world is not coming to a screeching halt. 13.1, I'm going to say that's closer to the reality when we're going to be talking about unemployment. All right, so speaking of unemployment and underemployment, let's talk about Scott Walker and the State of the State address last night. Came out and said that we are on track for improving circumstances. If I'm not mistaken, I read earlier this morning that in 2009, the peak unemployment rate for Wisconsin was 9.2%, I believe. We are currently at 6.7%. Is that right? Do you know if that's accurate? I believe,
don't know off the top of my head.
I believe that's accurate. It may be 6.7, maybe 6.9. You can look up unemployment rate for Wisconsin. You'll find it pretty quick. The economy of Wisconsin is improving. It's growing. Wisconsin was noted in a national survey as being one of the prime places that new businesses are looking at coming into and are developing. Entrepreneurship is growing. There is this debatable budget surplus. And that's where I believe there is some legitimate contention. There are good suggestions for the surplus on both sides. I've heard some interesting things. Some are saying, you know, the accounting manipulations that helped create this surplus, those accounting manipulations need to be corrected, a one-time correction with the actual cash. It's a very good idea. Some are saying, hey, we don't need to be going and spending all of this all willy-nilly, whether in tax rebates, tax reductions, and so forth. We should set aside a significant chunk for when the economy goes in the basement in the future. We've got a backup.
There are those who believe that the next budget there will be a structural deficit that will occur before the next budget has to be put through, and that's why they want to save the money for that instead of giving it all back. And the other argument from the Democratic side is that education took the big hit in the last budget, and that those funds should be restored to the educational process, public schools and the technical college system, before we start giving it back in the form of rebates and property tax.
And that's where a very healthy discussion can come from as to why the cuts were made, what the results of those cuts were made, what is the direction that we want to go in as a result of the cuts, and negotiate and discuss. If there is legitimate information that there is a significant budget shortfall, maybe in the near future, yes, being prepared for that is wise. That's what you and I do in our household. You've got a little extra money at the end of the month. You shouldn't just go, you know, run up to the mall and spend it. Set it aside for a shortfall. You know, the car needs a water pump or oil condenser or whatever it is that, you know what I'm saying? That's what you do.
The roof starts leaking.
Yeah, exactly.
The water heater breaks.
So there's always room for a healthy, knowledgeable discussion about these things. However, when you have the Democrat representative Christine Sinicki get on Twitter and say, quote, OMG, this speech is so full of bleep, but she put it out there, wish I could get up and walk out. Completely unacceptable. If you are unhappy with the material content in the speech, then in a response, why don't you give material information and proof of your point? Just to say the speech is full of crap.
You don't have enough characters on Twitter to do that.
Then say, please check out my blog later or something of that nature. It is immature, it is irresponsible, and it is disrespectful to the position for which she was elected. Those that are calling for her to apologize, absolutely correct. In her apology, she says, I wasn't talking about the governor, I was talking about his speech. That's not an apology. That doesn't make anything better. Who gave the speech? Christine? The governor. So in essence, your apology means nothing.
Now, wait a minute now. I mean, and regardless
your
of whether,
apology
regardless
means nothing,
of whether this
Christine
is Democratic,
Sinicki.
Republican, or Republican-Democrat, we've got representatives, senators, congressmen, state representatives who go to the press, talk to reporters, go on talk radio, and belittle their opposition on a regular basis. They're not asked to apologize. They're not asked to temper their remarks.
Again, that's the standard response. Well, other people do it, so I shouldn't get in trouble for doing it. That makes no sense. If it's wrong, it's wrong. And I'll give you another example.
In today's political life, who's to say
it's wrong? Of course. That's a perfect response.
Stand there and eat your words or speak truth to power.
If truth to power, oh my God, this speech is full of crap.
Yeah.
I wish I could walk out.
Yeah.
Is not truth. It's not power. It is an opinion. It is disrespectful. It's immature. And it is inappropriate. At the very least, it was inappropriate. She's being disrespectful to the office for which she was elected. She should be ashamed of herself, but apparently she doesn't have enough class to be ashamed of herself, because even in her apology, she's still being a stubborn little brat. Pathetic. Absolutely pathetic behavior. Louie, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, this is for Tom. He's all worried about the rainy day fund, you know, because they really need to build that up so that when Miss Burke gets in there as governor, that she's got a lot of extra money to spend.
There are those who say, those on the Republican side who say that there will be a structural deficit before the next budget is passed, and that they want to keep the money in that fund
that.
In order to deal with it. No, nobody knows
you
that.
But until it happens.
But the guys that are in a position of power and make the laws believe that it's possible it could happen. And by the time, if you don't save the money and you spend it now and you don't have it then, it's too late to do anything
about
it.
You obviously don't remember the Doyle administration. He obviously would spend it first and not worry about the deficit and the shortfalls at all.
I'm not saying that it's the right thing to do. I'm saying it's one of the suggestions being put out there by our legislators, that they put the money in the fund to take care of the structural deficit in the next budget before they give it back or use it for other things. That's just one of the options that's on the table.
Now, one other thing, and
not much of an option.
Well, I appreciate your calling very much, and thanks for listening to the program. If there are legitimate options to take care of deficits and emergency spending in the near future, and they are legitimate and they are strong in their fiscal policy, then I would have no problem with spending a little bit more of the surplus or giving it back in the forms of tax credits and so forth to the citizens of the state. But it all comes down to being fiscally responsible. All right, let's take one more call, and then we're going to have to take our break. Thanks for calling. What's your name?
Hey, good morning. This is Bill.
Hey, Bill. What can we do for you?
Well, first of all, I think that Walker's presentation about the facts and economy and job growth and all of those things and a surplus are all true. But as far as what to do with this so-called surplus now, one of the ways that surplus was created was that they did a lot of borrowing, long-term borrowing. They refinanced all the state debt, kicked the can down the road, and we now have in Wisconsin, in 2010, which was the most recent figures in the recent Blue Book, we showed a billion dollar debt, and that has been increased, I understand, by $4 or $5 billion. So we have a huge debt.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the rainy day fund, there's no constitutional provision for creating hoarding money that the state is looking at. Well, we're going to sit on this money.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Right.
Yeah, the money is to be budgeted. The dollars, what you need is to be budgeted. Then you raise revenue according to that, and you're supposed to balance that.
Gotcha.
If there's a surplus, then you either give it back to taxpayers, or you apply it to the next budget.
Well, there it is. That answers the question right there. Thank you very much for calling in.
And the Republican head of the Senate says that he doesn't have the votes anyway to pass anything that Walker was talking about last night, that there are two or three Republicans in the Senate majority that don't want to vote for these things.
Yeah.
So at this point, it's not going to pass anyway.
Well, this is why there needs to be some intelligent, articulate discussion of what to do about the budget. My whole point about this is Christine Sinicki and her response is pathetic. Now, when we come back, I'm going to give you another example of a pathetic political response. And the question I'm going to ask you is, was it racist or was it not? WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News.
Get breaking news from the WSAU newsroom straight to your cell phone. Text NEWS to 39327 and you'll always be up to date. From AM 550, FM 99.9, and WSAU.com.
Welcome back to Feedback, 715-845-2155. Okay, so we've talked about the governor's State of the State address. We've addressed the budget issue. That seems to be the kind of the hot topic. Needs to be some good conversation about what to do with it, what not to do with it. Let's go back to the phones, and I believe Don, you're next up. Thanks for calling. Thanks for holding on.
Thanks, Seth. I think, you know, according to our president, we create more jobs by giving the money back to the taxpayers.
Our current president says that?
Didn't he say that? The unemployment by supplying monies to the emergency unemployment, that would create more jobs?
Well, W said give the money back to the people and it will create more into the coffers. The president is saying if we create money out of thin air and pump it into the economy, it will bolster the economy and kickstart it and get it running. For the last several years,
which it has done.
No, it hasn't. We've been kickstarting the economy for a long time, and it's a house of cards. Thanks for calling in. Mark, you're next. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I know you're trying to move on to something else, but
that's okay.
Comment about the state of the state.
Yeah.
I know it wasn't you who said about the education taking a hit, and I don't doubt that at all, but I think who's taking a bigger hit are the taxpayers. And year after year, dig more and more in the pockets, and I think giving money back is really what needs to be done. There was a comment in the news from one Democratic senator, I think, who said instead of, quote, giving the money away, and then talked about education. I find it insulting. I mean, giving the money away, it's investing back into our taxpayers.
Yeah.
And that mentality of I can spend your money better than you can is how we got into this mess. So I found that very insulting.
It is insulting. And the Democrat response to the State of the State address last night contains some factual errors and emotional talking points that are not appropriate. They're still upset at Walker's policies. They're still upset at cracking down on the unions. They're crying and I don't like the way he did it. Well, then why don't you get him somebody else elected into the office? That's what the process is all about.
That's what I say about the president all the time, and
right.
Yet the whining from the right continues about his policies.
Because he's a socialist and he's destroying our country.
Ah.
But a couple of the things where they were, you know, complaining as a response were materially incorrect. And you hit the point right on the head. Giving the money back to the taxpayers from from our pocket. It's coming out of our pocket. It's not throwing the money away. They want to see things that were dismantled reinstated. Well, sorry, it's not going to happen. What I find very interesting is the fact that the economy of Wisconsin has turned around is not enough. Well, we're not growing as fast as the United States economy. Well, you know why? Because the growth of Wisconsin's economy is actual true recovery. The federal government, in its quote-unquote fiscal recovery, is because the federal government has the ability to print money and pull money out of its butt and send it into the economy. Wisconsin can't do that. So the recovery that Wisconsin is having is a legitimate, real financial recovery. The government pumping money into the Fed, or the Fed pumping money into the Treasury by way of quantitative easing and this other ridiculous policies that they've got, this is not real recovery. It's like a balloon inflated. At some point, it's going to overinflate and pop. Everybody on Wall Street is waiting for it. They're just riding the wave until it happens. Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to shift into this comment that was made by a Florida Republican who's running for state assembly. His name is Joshua Black, and he made a comment. Actually, he retweeted a comment from somebody else and then added to it a little bit, confirming that, yeah, he thought it was a great idea. He got a visit from the Secret Service as a result. The question is, was his comment racist? WSAU, we'll be right back.
A full dose of the day's events.
The news you need, the issues you're passionate about.
I find that very disturbing.
AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.